Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report, the final weekend edition of this year. And boy, oh boy, it's a year that's going to go down in the record books more on the negative side than anything, because really the best performing sectors seem to break even at best for the year, and a lot of sectors down, and has a lot of people, I think, quite frankly, just questioning their overall outlook on markets. Look, we're going to more or less kind of recap this year and then look ahead to next year. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. We will post a link to Dana's website where you can follow along with his market commentary. Now, Dana, you really stood out to me this year as a guest on our show who played the swings quite well and actually played the short side, or at least a defensive play for the markets throughout this year. Quite frankly, these markets, the broad averages continued to drop. The fourth quarter was a bit better, but I'm still not hearing anybody be too optimistic about next year. Let's talk about recapping this year. Now, Dana, in a broad sense, any major takeaways that you have from this year that you think investors really need to take note of?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. As I mentioned before the show, we were perusing some of our writings around the turn of the year a year ago, coming into 2022, and our work was suggesting that we might that 2022 might be some sort of a key juncture, a key pivotal type of year in the markets, specifically in the sense that you see maybe some significant turns in the market, and what we've seen this year certainly does not change my opinion that that was indeed the case. You look at, for example, the equity market, which was, you know, in a pretty strong bull market, turned sharply lower. And I think it is the beginning of a longer term bear market like we've talked about. So I think that has been a key juncture this year. I don't think I'm not holding my breath that we see some sort of a mean reversion, whipsaw back up to the upside. I think this was the start of a longer term bear, like we've talked about. And same thing with the bond market, which I think rates bottomed out in 2020, and will, as we've also talked about many times this year, I think rates continue higher for many years or decades to come. So after a more benign year, I guess last year, we saw rates really shooting higher again this year. And I think that was probably the start of maybe more of a move from a transitional phase like we saw in 2020, 2021, and more of the beginning of that long-term up move in yields. You know, it's not going to be straight up, but I think, like I mentioned, for many years or decades to come, I think the general trend will be higher. So I think this year has been kind of a transitional year or a major juncture type of a year in several of the markets.
Yeah, Dana, it really has. And if you back up the clock to 2020 and 2021, we were kind of at the peak frothiness of all things speculative. We had traders coming into the market that had never been investors before that decided during the lockdowns they were going to become investors, and they were piling into meme stocks, to stay-at-home stocks, to reopening stocks, to SPACs and special offerings, to unicorn IPOs. And we saw the tech growth sector just rip to new highs. And over the last year, really starting at the end of 2021, moving into 2022, we saw a theme change from the growth aspect into value. And we saw sectors like consumer staples, utilities, energy, and even precious metals do a little bit better this year than a lot of those other high growth sectors. Do you see that as a trend that's sustainable, or what was your outlook on how things played out this year as far as the shift from growth to value?
Yeah, I think that plays right along with that. The sort of transitional year that we've seen this year, with, you know, not just stocks in general turning lower, but those growth stocks, the growth type stocks that you mentioned, which have led the way for so long, really leading the way to the downside, whereas the value sector of the market held up much better. Maybe didn't close the year higher, but at least held up much better. And that type of a relative performance or a relative strength ratio between growth and value, I think this year very likely will be another one of those bigger cyclical junctures where growth turns lower versus value for some time to come. I don't think, again, we get necessarily a mean reversion snapback like we've seen in the past few years. I think growth is probably going forward is probably going to be in a downtrend versus value for some time to come on a more secular basis. And it's for the reasons that you mentioned, just the amount of froth and excess that had built up into the markets coming into 2021, even really coming into 2022, we saw all sorts of what we call background measures hitting record highs, things like household investment in stocks. And if you look at the Buffett indicator, GDP or market cap to GDP, everything was hitting basically either testing all-time highs or substantially into new all-time high ground. So there's a lot of excess, a lot of froth to be worked out. And I think this year was just the beginning of that.
To your point then, Dana, about this different environment, are we now in a savers market? Are we going to see more people saving money or putting money into higher yielding instruments that, quite frankly, are of the defensive nature?
Well, I think you will see that a lot, especially with perhaps the end of the easy money or free money era, thanks to the central banks. You're also seeing, obviously, with the turn in interest rates and the rise in yields, obviously you're getting a more attractive yield if you do choose those types of instruments. I mean, for how long did, you know, bank deposits not get any interest on them? So certainly it'll behoove savers to, in this type of environment, to commit more of their capital to savings, to the extent that they even have savings. You know, most of the people with any type of savings potential are the upper percentage of earners out there who have basically enjoyed this windfall thanks to the central banks of the easy money, and with interest rates basically at zero, there was no reason, no incentive for them to park that money in cash. So obviously now I think that will be a different story, especially if what we think about the markets going forward comes to fruition, meaning continuation of the bear market in equities and the continuation of the bear market in bonds. The more losses pile up on people, the more investors are likely to pull their money from risk assets and park it in something more safe.
Yeah, Dana, for a long time, all we heard about was Tina. There is no alternative. And now there is an alternative. And so if people do get into the pressure cooker and start getting a little more defensive, I could see more people moving into those higher yielding ways of accessing either dividend paying stocks or some of the yields where they're actually getting 4 or 5% on them. But I guess the question is, you've mentioned this is going to be possibly a longer term bear market. And when I look at the financial media, Dana, all I see is at every turn, people saying, okay, the bull market's back on. It's almost as if they still believe that the 12-year bull market we saw has another 12 years in front of it. And so at every dip, we still have that buy the dip mentality come in from the mainstream financial media. And even in just to talking to other investors, there's a lot of people that keep trying to scalp what they consider deals only to see the markets keep heading higher. I'd love you to back things up to your quantitative models and just how you look at a bear market unfolding. And are things really oversold in the general markets, or is there still a lot of excess over the last decade that we still have to work off?
Right. Well, and these longer term secular types of moves are hard to time because you think something's excessive and lo and behold, you just continue on for like 5 or 10 more years, just getting more excessive. And that type of phenomenon has been exacerbated in this TINA type environment. But I think as this type of environment unfolds, as folks, they're used to, as you mentioned, they're used to that buy the dip mentality. And every little blip over the last few years has been an opportunity, has been a buying opportunity. And that's been fed into them by the financial media, who I'm not saying they don't have, they can't get ratings in a bear market, but it seems like they enjoy pumping up the bull market. And seems like perhaps they'll have more investors, period, in a bull market. So that's that has certainly fed into that narrative that you know, markets just go up and every single blip is a buying opportunity. But once you do reach that final excessive peak, you get into the scenario where we always talk about with the great Bob Farrell's legendary 10 trading rules, and one of which is markets that go to excess always go to excess in the opposite direction. They never correct back to the mean. So right now we've seen, you know, some correction back to less excessive levels. For example, those background indicators I mentioned before, household investment and market cap to GDP. What those have done is correct from all-time highs, excessive highs at the beginning of the year, back to levels of from 2000, which indicated the previous record high. So we're not even anywhere near back to like even mean levels. We're back to the previous record highs. And if folks think that now they're getting a bargain now, this is the type of scenario, if it is a longer term bear market, where they think it's a bargain, they buy, they get the rug pulled out from under them again, and we get another big dip. They buy again. They think that's, you know, bargain basement levels. And the same thing happens until we get to the point where, from a historic basis, we actually go to the opposite end of the spectrum, from excessive froth to extreme undervaluations, which, again, I don't think we're anywhere near that. We're just coming off of record highs. And if you look versus a year ago, which people often have are subjected to that recency bias, we're only off of record highs from a year ago. We've hardly even begun that longer term correction, which is I think we are very likely, or at least the risk is there, that that type of scenario is going to unfold. And that will be obviously devastating for investors.
All right. So then into next year, Dana, what are some of your positions here? What are you doing? How are you positioning yourself and your fund as we make the transition into 2023?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we don't look at the market on a year-to-year basis. We don't say, okay, we're going into 2023. How are we going to position ourselves? We have quantitative models that tell us what is going on now, and how do we want to position ourselves based on what the market is right now, not what we think it'll be throughout the year. And right now, we did get a buy signal on our intermediate term risk model in October. That momentum behind that buy signal is waning considerably. In fact, it's holding, hanging on by a thread. I would not be surprised that turns lower again. So at this point, we would be reducing some long exposure, reducing some risk in your portfolios into strength like we're seeing today on Thursday. In fact, we've done a fair bit of selling here today. And if it continues into the new year, the quote unquote Santa Claus rally will continue to lighten up on risk and take advantage of this bounce to start adding back some short positions to our portfolio as well. So I don't see right now, I would say the odds are based on the data that there's more risk to the downside right now than there is evidence that we want to be taking some aggressive bets like we did at the end of October and early November.
Well, Dana, just on that idea of hedging your portfolio, looking for opportunities to reduce longs or possibly put on shorts, do you think that's going to be the play for a lot of this year as we see other bounces? Will you be reducing longs into those bounces as the year develops, or will you actually be more on the short side than the long side as we move into this next year?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. We'll see how the models unfold. I think to the extent that folks are believing in, you know, that a bottom is in place, and I'm not sure that's the case, but I do see a lot of hedging out there, at least from the in the near term from the options market. So I think what you'll see is some continued back and forth, some continued range trade here in the very short term. But I do think the overall trend is lower. So definitely, just like the breakouts, the quote-unquote breakouts that we saw throughout the year, and some of those, maybe some of the more defensive sectors, those didn't pan out. Those were turned out to be false breakouts, and you got the rug pulled again. Just it's the same thing with the downside. It's very hard, especially if you're not accustomed to shorting and you're not accustomed to managing risk in that way and playing the downside. It's difficult to time maybe time those shorts, especially if you're selling it into a breakdown, which, as we've talked about this year, those types of strategies have ceased to become ceased to be reliable. So you have to pick your spots. And from that perspective, we're more apt to sell into strength in this environment or short into strength. And it might very well be, if we pick the right spot, that we'll be more short than we will be long, at least in the early part of this year, if that next bear leg does unfold, if we go ahead and decisively break those lows that we've been kind of treading on over the last 6 months or so. If those give way decisively, then we'll probably see that next big leg lower. And you'll have to be positioned for that, I think, ahead of time. It's hard to, like I said, short those breakdowns. So we'll be into any strength here at the end of the year. We'll be starting to position ourselves for that type of scenario like we're doing today.
Can we get your comments on currencies as well, Dana? Because the real story, at least for the first half of the year, was the U.S. dollar continuing to run higher. Then it turned around. It is drifting still at the tail end of this year, but it is still one of the stronger currencies out there in the big picture. Still well over 100 on the dollar index. Where do you see currencies moving next year?
Like stocks have been and like bonds have been, we're kind of in a counter trend move. We do think the dollar longer term is in that uptrend. Right now, that's not the case. It's been obviously pulling back quite sharply since October. But again, we think, like stocks have been in a counter trend bounce, we think there's a counter trend pullback for the dollar. So it is treading on support here. We have been buying the dollar around that 104 level. It's got some upside. I would not be surprised to see a bounce and then another move lower, to be honest with you. I guess around 99 would probably be a great place for it to bottom, but I don't have a a crystal ball. But we'll be playing, well, just like the equity market or any markets, we'll be playing within that longer trend, the longer term trend, which we think is up still. We'll be playing those counter trend moves. So right now we're looking for a bounce in the short term and maybe one more move lower. And I think it's the same thing in the bond market. You know, we're long term, like I talked about, we're extremely bearish on the bond market. We think yields go up for a long time to come. However, it's not a straight line. I think right now we've been buying bonds over the last 2 days. I think there's going to be another nice rally in bonds. I think yields pull back to their recent lows or even make another low before that ultimate bottom is in and we start heading higher again sharply. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of counter trend moves and a lot of whips along the way, which you have to be pretty nimble at if you're going to keep playing that, because it's going to be hard to, even if we think the bond market is going lower for decades and yields go up for decades, it's hard to be you know, sit there and short the bond market and wait for yields to get up to 15% again when they have such violent moves in between.
Well, Dana, just one more sector I'd love to get your thoughts on. That's the commodity sector, in particular the metals or energy. Had a pretty good year, separated from a lot of the pack, but how do you see commodities setting up for next year?
Yeah, similar there. You know, we think there's a long-term up move, a long-term bull market in commodities, in particular precious metals, gold and silver. We're long there. We think they will continue higher. The rest of the commodity market are probably the same. However, in the near term, we're more bullish on the precious metals sector than the rest of commodities. I think energy, I think crude oil has further downside here. And the CRB index and other broad commodity indices, I think, have further downside here in those counter trend moves. Again, there's a lot of counter trend action going on, I think. However, I think ultimately those longer term trends do assert themselves sometime next year, maybe the first half of next year, and commodities start going higher again. And gold and silver, like I mentioned, we are already positioned long. I think those are set up eventually for another big up move, another big up leg in those longer term bull markets.
All right, Dana. Great chatting with you as always, man. It's been a pleasure following along with you on these markets and hearing how you've been trading using your internal models, which quite frankly have been calling these markets and trading around what has been a bad year. So I look forward to next year as we continue to cover these markets, and it still sounds like it's going to be pretty tough for investors. Dana, thank you again for your time. Pleasure chatting with you all year. Look forward to 2023 with you.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year's to you guys and all of your listeners. Appreciate it.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.